Ebenezer family and friends, thank you so much for connecting with us. You notice I'm just thinking about the word. We're going to talk about the cross today, so get ready. Just thank you so much for all your prayers. So many people have been going through and struggling. There have been a lot of transitions in our society, but we know our God is faithful even in this time of distractions and fears. Thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com, where we have so much that's going on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays throughout the week. Pray that you've downloaded that app, because that app really sends you the notifications and you can stay abreast of everything that's going on. As always, thank you for your giving and whatever shape, form that is, whether you're in our in-person services at 8:45 and 10:45, or you're sending it via the app, or you're sending it into our secure mailbox. We just thank you, thank you, thank you for all you do. But realize God loves a cheerful giver, and that giving is not just monetarily. That giving is reaching out to other saints and encouraging them, texting and embracing small group studies, all the things that really denote being on mission for the Lord. We're going to talk about that a little later. Just staying focused on God's calling within our lives. Well, I want our hearts to be prepared as we are going to get in some heavy text today as we're dealing with this series on distractions and fears. We'll see you soon.
Good morning, family.
Good morning.
This morning, our scripture lesson will come from Psalm number 5. And I'm going to read it in its entirety. Psalm number 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King, my God, for to you I pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and the deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue and pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him with a shield. The word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Why don't you come on in the room? You can help me if you want to. Yes, come on in the room. You know Jesus is my doctor, and he writes all of my prescriptions. You know he brings me all of my medicine in my room. Say it again. Well, why don't you come on in the room? Oh, yes, come on in the room. You know Jesus is my doctor, and he writes up all of my prescriptions. You know he brings me all of my heaven in my room. Yes, well, there is peace in the room. Oh, yes, peace in the room. You know Jesus is my doctor, and he writes up all of my prescriptions. You know he brings me all of my medicine in my room. There is joy, yes, in the room. There is joy in the room. You know Jesus is my doctor, and he writes up all of my prescriptions. You know he brings me all of my medicine in my room. Well, yeah, there is love, yes, in the room. There is love in the room. You know Jesus is my doctor, and he writes all of my prescriptions. You know he brings me all my medicine. Thank you. Thank you.
It is so good to be saved. To God, have God's Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. And I pray that as we have been progressing through these this series on distraction and fears, that you have been encouraged and your relationship has been increasing with our Heavenly Father. I have been giving you some homework from Sunday to Sunday to really sanctify yourself, set yourself apart with the Lord. Find that secret closet again, get into the Word, spend more time in prayer, because we're definitely in a season and a time that we need to hear clearly the voice of the Lord. Well, I am just thinking about the Word, and I just want to welcome God's presence as we go forth. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for today. I thank you for your presence. Lord, thank you so much for saving us. I pray for maybe those who are looking in now that some people may not be saved. And so would you help them to sense your anointing, help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Lord, let today be their gift, Lord, that they receive that gift from you. You go on in that ninth verse and say, not of works, lest any man should boast. But Lord, it's not about us. It's about that gift, Lord, that you've given us. And I just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for that, Lord. Lord, transform us to be more like you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us? Lord, lead us into all truth. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been really focusing on that memory scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Get that deep on the inside of you as you go through your days. And I'm telling you, that is going to be a part of our arsenal as we fight this spiritual battle that we are in. Today's scripture I want to focus in on is Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and the 34th verse. Mark chapter 8 and 34. It reads, "When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I want to speak from title today, the cross. The cross. Even when talking about that, it's weighty, especially those who have been raised up in the church, and the cross has been lifted up. And today, I pray that we'll have a invigorated insight into the meaning of the cross. From last time, we were in Matthew chapter 4 and the first verse. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And we talked from a subject on that time, the showdown with the devil. A showdown with the devil. Our time frame today is AD 32 in Mark's gospel. We find ourselves in the area of Caesarea Philippi. This is about 120 miles north of Jerusalem and 50 miles southwest of Damascus. It's right at the edge of the Mount Hermon, a beautiful area near the Jordan River. Here, the Christ goes in some deep teachings on miracles and the meaning of miracles with his disciples. He also goes into the section of who do men say that I am? And this is where we get the wonderful confession of Peter being used of God, saying, "You are the Christ and the anointed one of God." And so we transition from this really climactical point of really knowing who Christ is to Mark 8:31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Here's our first point as we kind of transition into this portion of the scriptures. There will be some tough days ahead. There will be some tough days ahead. This is actually a turning point within the gospel as Jesus is really focusing towards the cross. And he's trying to get his disciples on board to understand it's not all about miracles. It's not all about signs and wonders. It's not about me just in my teaching and speaking, but there is another part that we're going to have to go through. Jesus talks about topics that we just don't like. We don't embrace them. One is suffering. We don't want to deal with suffering. I'm reading a book now about this missionary. His last name is Brainerd, and he was a missionary to the Indians. And he talks about the suffering that he goes through. And he actually had tuberculosis, a majority of his tuberculosis, a majority of his life. And he would be going through episodes where he would be bleeding, he would be spitting up blood, but yet he would still carry the gospel to people that were around him. Amazing. And he talked about the suffering. We don't like to talk about rejection. Rejection is real, even in the Christian life, that as we're carrying the gospel, we can be rejected by those who don't want to hear. And sometimes, even within our family and friends and relationship, we can feel that rejection. Also, another one that we don't like to talk about that Jesus deals with in this scripture is death. Yes, death. Oftentimes, we put off thinking about that, planning about it. We just don't want to deal with it, even though that is the reality of what we live in. COVID-19 has really brought that to the forefront, to realize that is something that we have to deal with. And Jesus now throws this on his disciples. These topics are so weighty as he's dealing with the disciples that they are getting caught up and they miss out on that last part. It said that he's going to rise again after 3 days. And so often we can get encumbered with these heavy topics that we can forget that there is still hope. We must embrace the fact that there are going to be some tough days ahead. There ought to be some amens out there. Yes, yes, wherever you are now, I pray that you're in a good season, but you're going to go through something. It may be emotional. It may be with other people. It may be on your job. It may be with your body, but there are going to be some tough days ahead. Jesus wanted them to know something about his journey, his missionary journey. Listen to this. There would be no glory without pain. There would be no crown without a cross. Can I read that again? There would be no glory without pain. There would be no crown without a cross. Now, this is heavy because in our lives, so often we want the glory without any pain. We want to be able to get the crown without having the cross. Jesus spoke about these tough days in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Hallelujah. In the world you will have tribulation. Again, listen to this. Christ says that in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God has truly made us world overcomers. Any hallelujahs, praise out there. God has made us world overcomers. With him, we can overcome all our distractions and fears, but know that they are going to come. There are going to be some tough days ahead. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. That is such good news in this season and time. We're talking about the cross. Look at Mark 8:32. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Again, those topics, that suffering, rejection, death, we don't want to deal with that. Peter gets caught up in this like, no, we have just arrived. We're miracle ministry. The treasury is going up. People are embracing us. Man, we're on a roll. You can't allow this to happen, or this is not going to happen to you. Here's another point encompassing that thought. When we just don't understand. When we just don't understand. I'm speaking to someone now because all of us have been in places in our lives. Things happen and we prayed and we sought the Lord and things happen that we just don't understand, or we find ourselves in situations that we just don't understand. Peter was unwilling to accept what Christ had just said. He was unwilling to embrace the fact that Christ's ministry was going to be a ministry of grief, a ministry of suffering, a ministry of rejection, a ministry of death. We wrestle with these questions within our flesh. We wrestle from day in and day out on these heavy thoughts of life. When we go through, we can make the same mistake of rebuking God or even questioning God, feeling that God has missed it. There ought to be some amens or some ouches out there. We do. We come to God and we say, God, this is what I want. You should be on my page. But God is saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. Please know we will understand these things better by and by. Charles Albert Tinley in 1905, he really gives us the understanding of just trusting the Lord even when we just don't understand. He says, we are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests often succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mist have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord and according to the word, we will understand it better by and by. He sums it up in this thought. He says, temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for any thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the tests when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. I'm talking about the cross. The reality of our existence and our walk with the Lord is that we do go through some struggles. And some of you that are listening and viewing now, you're going through some stuff in your life. But I want to encourage you that God is with you. Look at Mark 8:33. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Wow, here's another point. It's bigger than we realize. Yes, it's bigger than we realize. Now, this is important. Peter in the scriptures before, he's just made this monumental confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now he goes to this point of rebuking Jesus. And then he goes to the lowest of lows because now Jesus comes at him and says, get behind me, Satan. This statement actually, as Jesus confronts Peter and even his disciples that are listening around, is really not consistent with his character. We don't see this too often where Jesus would go after those that were around him or at least in that vibe. And so we have to peel back. It wasn't just Peter. We understood that Satan had stepped in the room. Yes, there was something that could not be seen by the disciples that began to work even in Peter's lips, his mouth, his understanding. And in our lives, we've got to realize there are demonic beings, there are principalities, rulers of darkness, stuff that we can't see that can come upon us emotionally. And that's where we've got to fight this spiritual battle. But when the works of the enemy were present, I'm so happy to know that Jesus called it out, even when it was amongst his friends, even when it was amongst those who loved him. Jesus could have stood quiet, but he realized this was a time, I've got to call you out, devil. I know that you're here. You're coming back in an opportune time, but I know the calling within my life. And even though you're impacting those that are around me, you will not take me off of my calling. Theologian Kelly gives us a better understanding. He says, what was it that so roused our Lord? The very snare to which we are all so exposed, the desire of saving self, the preference of an easy path to the cross. Is it not true that we naturally like to escape trial, shame, and rejections? Any amen? That we shrink from the suffering which doing God's will in such a world as this must ever entail? That we prefer to have a quiet and respectable path in the earth? In short, the best of both worlds. How easily one may be ensnared into this. This is our challenge as we're talking about the cross. We must rise to see that it's really bigger than us. Yes. We do. We're living in the United States of America. We have so many blessings that God has allowed us to have. But in that, we must be careful that we never forget our God and that he must be our priority. Remember when God spoke in the Old Testament to the children of Israel, he says, I'm going to take you into the promised land. But when you get into the promised land and you move in the house and you begin to eat and drink, don't you forget, he said, unless you grow big and you get fat and you forget the Lord your God and you follow after other gods. Could that be what's coming against America and even the Christian church, that we have embraced so much of these blessings that we forgot who gave us the blessings? Ephesians 6:12 gets us to the point of realizing that there is a war going on, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I bring that up over and over again because that is our battle. I'm talking about the cross. Saints, we have to understand that God has called us here for a greater purpose. Yes, it's bigger. It's bigger than we understand. And even Peter at this point, as he's rebuking the Christ, he just doesn't understand what Christ is up to, what Jesus is up to. Notice Mark 8:34, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, Jesus said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. These are weighty words that saints, oftentimes we just want to push aside in our fast-paced society, and we want to just move on with what we want. But this is the point that we can get out of this scripture. Desire, deny, direction. Yes, desire, deny, direction. Notice as we look closely at this scripture, Jesus brings out of here, he says, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. That is the question. How much do we want Jesus? If we want Jesus, if we want to be more like him, we're going to have to deny ourselves. That could manifest itself into fasting and set aside more time of prayer, which is going to cost you on the other side. It's going to cost you something to do. You're going to have to deny yourself to do these things. And then he takes it to the next part. He says, in this denial, we've got to realize that we've got to take up our cross and follow him. So we come to this point of desiring, we have to deny, and then we get direction. How does that look? We take up our cross and we follow him. The cross is not pleasurable. No, the cross brings tears and struggles, and it's a fight. And if anybody tells you this walk with Christ is just easy and there's no problems and those issues, they're not telling you the truth. But saints, as we get closer to the Lord, it's true. Every day gets sweeter and sweeter, but we go through. It's just in our pain, God can give us peace. In our struggle, God can strengthen us. When we feel lonely, God can tell us that he'll never leave leave us nor forsake us. We have so much stuff, and to think that we have to give up some of those stuff and those things and deny ourselves. How much do we really love Jesus? If God asked us to go to a place called Haiti on mission journey, would we be able to do that? Or would we try to talk to God and say, God, I've got this and I'm connected to this. Would we allow the things of this world to win out on a mission for the glory of God? What would be your excuse, and what is your excuse and my excuse for not picking up our cross and following Jesus? Mark 8:35. For whoever desires to save his life, Jesus says, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Here's another point. The paradox. The paradox. Notice as we examine this, Jesus would often do this. He puts these heavy statements and he puts them in different positions, paradoxical positions here. Look at the first. Let's examine this. First, he says, whoever saves his life will lose it. Now, just thinking of that on a physical realm, you're like, okay, if I save my life, I'm going to lose it. That doesn't make sense. But he pivots over to that spiritual understanding. The more we try to save ourselves, the more we actually lose. He brings this out. Whoever loses his life for Jesus and the gospel will save it. This is on all kinds of level. We can realize that even in the martyrs who have died for Jesus the Christ, even though they lost their life, they actually gained it. They lost it for the gospel's sakes. There have been people that have been killed because they carried the gospel. They stood forth in the strong hand of God, and God allowed them to die on this side, but to live on the next life. It's hard in this world of our standards to understand this paradox, but it is so true when we give it all to the Lord. I'm telling you, he gives us exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. Jesus explains this type of love that God wants us to exhibit towards him in John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. 13th verse, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. I'm talking about the cross. Now, this is heavy thinking at this point, because the more we love God, the more that we live a sacrificial life, the more that we're thinking about others, the more that we're striving to listen to that still small voice, the more as those distractions and fears come before us, now we realize, you know what, I can overcome through Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is working in me. In order to overcome in a consistent way, we've got to give our lives to the Lord. Yes, as we're going through, we already know there are going to be some tough days ahead. Our purpose is to give our lives more and more as the enemy comes in like a flood. Know that God is already raising up a standard, but as we get closer to God, we get stronger. We're able to stand stronger in the spiritual man. Big Daddy Wee really explains this and summarizes it as he sings this song. He said, it's hard to believe when you're scared of what might be, but you'll never find what you need hanging on so tightly, because life's not the kind of gift that you can hold. The only way you can keep it is to let it go. I want to give my life away. I want to give my life away. Move every little thing standing in the way. Oh, I want to give my life away. The cross. Do we really embrace that thought that we want to give our life away to the Lord? Or are we battling so many times of trying to take our lives into our own hands, take our lives into our own thoughts, and to mold it with what we want and what we desire? Can we come to the point in our lives, and I've been praying this more and more, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. I'm talking about the cross, Mark 8:36 and 37. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will man give in exchange for his soul? If you're on the chat, I want you to connect. Just type soul. S-O-U-L, soul. This is big, because we have to ask ourselves, what are we giving up? What are we trying to gain? and to realize that we do have a soul. Here's a point from this, the finish line. Yes, the finish line. This thought just came to my heart. It says we must live in a way that we always keep our eyes on the finish line. Yes, we must live in a way that we always keep our eyes on the finish line. Many of you know, I've told stories. I used to run when I was in high school, cross country. And the only way I got through those 3.1 miles, I had to keep my eye focused on the finish line. There was some times that I couldn't see it physically, that finish line, just because we were running through the woods. But in my mind's eye, I was already thinking that finish line, that finish line. And that pulled me to the end. And that's the way it should be for the Christian. We've got to stay focused on the finish line. Notice again, it said, what profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his S-O-U-L, his soul, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There have been so many people that have sold their soul to the enemy. Yes, they've allowed distractions and fears to encompass them so much, they've lost who they are. We must grasp the teaching of Jesus when he encourages us in Matthew 6:19. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust and destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Look at that 21st verse. This is critical. This is the key to winning through these distractions and fears in our lives. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Saints of God, could that be our struggle? Could that be why we're getting so caught up in distractions and fears of this society? Because we're trying to hold on to stuff. Our treasure is not in heaven. Our treasure is not in Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not in that, but it's in the things of this world, and we're holding on to it so tight. Let me tell you something. I've done a lot of funerals in my life, and I want you to know, you cannot take the stuff with you. They can dress you up and they can put nice jewelry on you, but please understand that coffin will be closed, it will be put into the ground, and that stuff will stay there, deteriorate, or it'll get stolen by someone later on. Please understand, you cannot take it with you. The pharaohs of Egypt found out that they would put all this gold in their tombs and they would fill it up thinking that they could take it to the other side, but guess what? Some Indiana Jones came and they found the same stuff that was there for years and years and years. You cannot take it with you. So our treasure that we try to hold on in this life is not going to get us anywhere. But what we need to think about is laying up treasure in heaven. Please, we must focus on eternal things. What is your life about? What are you living for? I agree with Hezekiah Walker when he says this. We must live our lives to live again. We must live our lives to live again. We must live our lives to live again. So many people are just living their lives to live, not realizing they're going to have to live again, whether it's with God or with the devil. The cross. Look at this final verse of this section, Mark 8:38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Final point. We don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed. Now, that transitional point, we've got to decide where do we want to live. We know that if we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we live with the Father. We get to live for eternity, that this life is going to pass away. But we understand that if we don't, please hear me. If you're listening, hell is real place. And we say living with the devil, but please understand, it means that you're going to have an eternity of suffering, an eternity of pain. With the enemy, and please understand, he's going to be suffering also. Literally, this is a dying state that's going to take place for eternity, where you feel all of these things. But I'm telling you, the cross is worth it on this side to have no pain in eternity. We don't have to be ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:11 said, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Isn't that good news? It says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. This is truly an adulterous generation, a wicked generation, a mean generation. But we must stand and realize that one day Christ is going to come back. There ought to be some shouts of praise. The same Jesus that told us about that we need to take up the cross, he's going to come back for his saints, for the faithful one. Revelation 1:7 said, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him." Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Yes, that same Jesus who was crucified on Calvary with nails in his hands and nails in his feet, he is coming back for us. That same Jesus who died on the cross of Calvary, and they take his cold body off of that cross and put it in the grave. That same Jesus that got up 3 days later with all power and glory, he's going to come back for us. So please understand, as we pick up our cross daily, I want you to know there is victory, that Christ has already overcome the world. And because he is overcome, he has made us overcomers. And there ought to be some saints, when you think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done, all that he's doing, all that he will do, your soul should shout out, "Hallelujah, I thank God for saving me." Saints, these are some tough times. Yes, if you want to get closer to the Lord, you're going to have to pick up your cross. Yes, we're going to find ourselves in some struggles in our life, but please note, as we get closer to God, because he has the victory, he also gives us the victory. You can trust him. Whatever situation you may find yourself in, I want you to know you can trust him. Get more into his word. Worship him. Praise him. For no matter what suffering we may go through on this side, oh, there's glory in glory land. God has done so much for us. I want you to be encouraged to think about that this salvation is not just a one-day thing, but it says that we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's salvation. It's delivering us every day of our lives. Delivering us even when things don't look good on the outside. We can have peace like a river flowing in our lives. Saints, I want to encourage you that God wants you to go to higher heights in him. He has put us on mission in this season and time. And I believe God is asking us to do more for him. He's asking us to truly examine our relationship with him, to make sure that stuff and things haven't overtaken our desires, and our pleasures of this world haven't overtaken our desires for him. Remember those desires. We need to desire him. We've got to deny ourselves and directions, take up our cross, and follow him. If you don't know Christ, again, would you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? It said you will be saved. I pray that you receive that gift today. I pray that we all be encouraged as we go on this journey to know that God is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Let us pray together. Father, I thank you. Lord, these are weighty words, the cross. Even as Peter rejected them, and even his disciples didn't want to hear that, Lord, we realize we do go through. We do have our struggles. But Lord, I want to thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. I want to thank you that even in those struggles, we often find ourselves growing closer to you. Lord, even in our pains, we often find that it's pleasure to know that we're leaning strongly on you. That it's not by our might nor our power, but it's by your spirit. Lord, I lift up a special prayer for those who are going through right now, whether they be bereaved, Lord, whether they be struggling on their jobs, Lord, maybe they're struggling with relationships or bodily issues right now. Lord, I pray that this message will encourage them to know that we all have our crosses, that we pick them up, Lord, and we follow you. I pray right now, Lord, that they will receive an encouragement. Lord, even joy, unspeakable joy, full of glory, will begin to bubble up on the inside of them. Lord, I thank you for overcoming the grave for us. Thank you for carrying your cross for us. Thank you, God, for dying on that cross, but yet getting up on the third day with all power and glory, and now being seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Oh, Father, help us to follow you more. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have you got all in your vessel and your lamp trimmed in the rain? Or be ready when the bridegroom comes? Have you got all in your vessel? The lamb trimmed and burning, Lord, to be ready when the bridegroom comes. Amaze and grace, Lord, how sweet the sound, Lord, that saved a wretch, Lord, like me. Lord, I once was lost, Lord, but now I'm found. Lord, I was blind, but now I see. Have you got all in your vessel and your lamp trimmed and burning? Or be ready when the bride room come, Lord. Have you got all in your vessel, your lamp trimmed and burning, Lord, to be ready when the bridegroom come? I came to Jesus just as I was, Lord, who was very wounded and sad. Lord, I found in him, Lord, a resting place. Lord, and he has made me glad. Have you got all in your vessel and your lamp trimmed and burning? Or be ready when the bridegroom comes, Lord. Have you got all in your vessel, your lamp trimmed and burning, Lord, be ready when the bridegroom comes? Amen. And grace, Lord, how sweet the sound, Lord, that saved a wretch, Lord, like me. Lord, I once was lost, Lord, but now I'm found. Lord, I was blind, but now